You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and I have Matt Brewster here, who I've heard about through other guests like Larissa Birdseye. He's all about town. He's Funky Brewster, and that's with a PH, so no F.
I had to take advantage of that when, my last name is Brewster. I had to do it.
Damn. Funky Brewster. We got Funky Brewster, Matt Brewster, here on Something Rather Than Nothing. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thank you so much, Ken. I'm very glad to be here. Really excited, too. A little nervous. This is my first solo podcast interview.
Yeah, well, it's fun. It'll be a good, fun conversation, and a lot of people, liking your tracks and the licks and all the musical work that you do. But I got to ask you first, Matt.
Sure.
Going back to the beginning, were you an artist when you were born?
I would say so. I believe that everyone is an artist when they're born, I think. Also, unfortunately, societal structures can sometimes maybe cause people to forget that fact. And maybe the artistry is dulled, but I don't think it's really ever extinguished. I think that, when we're born, we all have a little bit of art, a little bit of magic within us. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a big question, like developmentally has come up, because I don't know, to put it in simple terms, it's like, I think people got it when they began, and then part of their life story ends up being whether the people who are around them jump in and say, yeah, you do that crazy shit that you're doing.
Right. Absolutely.
Or they be like, or whether they look at it, hey, that's a sign of the devil.
I know. I grew up in a very religious family, and did the whole church thing pretty solidly. So I sort of get that a little bit. But I agree with you. Like the craziness is the art too. It's what makes us all individuals and separates us from one another. And I think that sometimes that can get a little lost and a little bit dulled, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I wanted to bring the listeners into the music work that you do.
Sure.
And I had mentioned had a recent guest, Larissa Birdseye, who's fantastic and fun, and
she's great, isn't she?
Yeah, she's super. I'm sure we'll give our props and to Larissa as we go along, but one of the things that I want to know, and if you could let listeners know, you bop around town, you're in different projects. We're going to have a track by Hiroki that'll be playing in just a little bit. You work with various artists. So tell the listeners what you do and where you pop around in the, Portland, Pacific Northwest, and wherever.
Sure. I have two main projects that I'm a part of. One is with Larissa Birdseye, and I've been doing that music with her ever since we met. And funny thing about that is I met her at an open mic, and she was just playing some music there. And I was in a hip hop funk band at the time. This was like maybe 8 years ago or so. And we were looking for a female vocalist, and just so happened to randomly be like, hey, like, really liked your singing. Do you maybe want to be a part of this band? Like, what's your number? She's like, yeah, okay, buddy. And whatever. So went on about it. We exchanged information. Like maybe a month or so later, she finally listens to some of the tracks I sent her, and she's like, Oh shit. Yeah. Okay. Like maybe I do want to do this. And, so we did that whole thing for like about another year, and then that band died off because we couldn't keep a drummer locked down. Drummers are sneakily hard to keep locked down.
Drummers are tough to keep locked down. Yes.
Yeah, man. And then, after that, she just, kind of wanted to do her own music and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. I said, yeah. And so we've been doing that for ever since then, and we're still doing it. We actually were just in New York. She's still in New York, but I just got back a couple days ago. We played a couple shows out there. She's released a couple singles since the last EP, which is Wildfire, and that Wildfire EP I had a heavy hand in co-producing and playing some instruments on as well. And yeah, it's a, you know, we've gotten to tour up and down the West Coast. We've gotten to go to the East Coast a couple times. Playing shows all over the Northwest as well. But yeah, so Larissa is one of the projects. The other project is Hiroki. That's more of a recent one, I would say. It was kind of, so it's with my, Hiroki is me and my friend Salvatore Manalo, which I don't know if you've heard his name.
Yeah.
Around, but yeah. He is one of the slickest singers and slickest guitar players around. Also one of the hardest workers I've ever seen too. But yeah, he was doing his solo project and he had a band and his bassist ended up moving to LA and he asked me if I wanted to join up and I said, yeah. And then after we had been playing for a while, you know, a couple few months, I was like, hey, you know, would you be interested in like, you know, doing like a co thing, you know, where we write the songs together, you know, and like perform together under the same banner. And he was like, yeah, sure. So we birthed Hiroki and that was kind of made official, like pretty much like close to the start of the pandemic, actually, which was interesting because we didn't really get to play out. But what we did get to do was, since we live like 5 minutes away from each other, we got to hunker down, write a bunch of songs while drinking a ton of alcohol. we just recorded them one by one. And so what we've done is, instead of like releasing an album or an EP, we've been going about it by releasing it single by single. And we released our first one last October, so almost a year, about a year ago almost. And we've been releasing one a month ever since, up until like maybe last month, I think was, you know, the last time we put one out. But we'll be releasing an EP. I mean, I was kind of hoping that we'd have it out like this month, but it might not be till early November or something like that. But we're just now finally starting to play back out. And it's really cool too, because even though it's just me and Sal that are kind of like, you know, spearheading the project, we got a drummer on board and we got a dope keys player. And our keys player is also, he's like using his laptop to trigger auxiliary sounds and like, you know, using all of the MIDI sounds. We like sent him all the MIDI patches that we use on the recording. So he's able to just do all that live, and it's starting to sound really, really good, and I'm really, really excited about it. But yeah, so that's Larissa Birdseye and Hiroki, and those are the two major projects that I work with. I just do a lot of freelance too around town. September was a really crazy month for me. I think I played with 9 different groups in September.
Wow. And
I'm used to playing with multiple groups, you know, in any given month, but 9 was kind of a lot for me. That was I think I was just really chomping at the bit and like really anxious to get back to playing music again, you know, since things were opening up, and I just kind of said yes to everything. And I'm really glad that I did, because it challenged me and made me like really focus up and get back to like pre-pandemic Matt, you know? And
yeah. Yeah. Really like hard. doing the art, the maybe the way you want to do it, or at least moving in that direction.
Or just, and just being busy again, you know, and making sure that I got my chops back up to speed, and just my ability to learn songs by ear really, really quickly. And, you know, it was exciting to write out charts again, which I had to use charts because there's no way that I can remember 9 different set lists in the same month. No way. No way. Not possible. I have a famously bad memory. But yeah, so I got to play with, this month I played with like Toxic, and she's a sweetheart and a super high energy. And, you know, we did that at the Star Theater. And then I played with Thrain Ezra, who's ridiculously talented. She's a young woman here in Portland that just a wonderful soul singer, really good ear for harmony and music and orchestration. I played with Will Kinky. I'm sure that you've heard his name thrown out around. Dude literally plays everywhere all of the time. My friend Wim Grace, she just came into town and did a studio session for her. And then I went out to Goldendale, Washington, out to this beautiful place that my buddy Ewing Jones has. It's a like this compound out in, you know, just in the middle of nowhere. But it's like this beautiful, like tall vault style ceilinged room that we recorded in, with huge bay windows with a gorgeous view. And I was out there recording for Liam St. John, if you know that guy. Man, what a voice Liam's got. He's just so intense. And you would never know just by talking to him, because he's so gentle. He starts singing, he's like Howlin' Wolf all of a sudden. Like, he's got the screams. Yow! You know, he was on, I think, what was it? The Voice he was on recently.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I play with a bunch of people, and anybody that calls me up and says, hey, I'm looking for a bass player, I'm looking for a cajon player, or I need, you know, a collab on something. If I'm able to do it, I will.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite things that I got to do last year was I worked, I haven't done hip hop in a very long time, but I got to work with this rapper producer, Mike Bars. He hit me up and asked me if I wanted to do a bass line on one of his songs. And it was a song called Million Deaths, which you can find everywhere. Man, Mike is so talented. It's one of the best raps I've ever heard in my life, honestly.
And wow, I was
just astonished to hear the final product. I was like, wow, man, I can't believe that you just had me on that track. That is so dope. I was so excited.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing that. I've had hip hop guests on. I grew up. It's funny. I grew up out east in Rhode Island, and right when like rap and hip hop, that's all I listened to. So it's like, you know, mid 80s. I was like 12, 13, breakdancer. You know, rap music.
Okay, you're a little b boy.
Yeah, okay. definite b boy, and I've listened throughout, and I was just checking out the new Nas album. I didn't realize he had one. So
I didn't either. Actually, this is the first time.
It's like somebody had mentioned to me. It's like he's always on top, and like you listen to it, I'm like, this guy's still on top, man. It's Nas. So
yeah, and I mean, Nas is a killer. We all know that,
man. So hey, let's go, listeners. We're gonna go to Matt's work with Hiroki. We're gonna play a track recently released called "Light 'Em Up." Hey, Matt, we're gonna play this right now, and afterwards, we're gonna find out what the heck art is. That sound good?
Sounds great to me.
Alrighty, here
let's
we go.
Get it.
Imagine cruising in Cali, raising a glass in the air. Light 'em up if you got 'em, baby. We don't care, don't care. From the coast to the valley, making love through the night. Light 'em up if you got 'em, baby. It's alright, it's alright. And it's a Friday night, we're driving downtown. We're meeting all the homies that could always get down. 'Cause it feels like the summer is keeping us high. And when we pull up, you fix your makeup. You caught me staring at the corner of your eye, but I'm not looking away, flirting with my lady love. Oh, just like we're cruising in Cali, raising a glass in the air. We'll be right back.
yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Man, that song is so much fun.
I love that song. I realized after listening to that song, there's a big gap in my music listening that's cool grooves, man.
Dude, it's the bassist that targets the booty and just, you know, makes you want to kind of all about the groove.
I love it. I love it. The sun's out today, you know. Uh-oh. If you could open up the sunroof and, you know.
Man, that was the whole vibe of the song. You know, we just wanted a nice summertime slapper, and man, we just ended up with like this weird disco trap gospel-y sort of fusion song. And you know, we had Paul Parisa guest with the piano on it, man, and he killed it on that.
Oh, it's beautiful. Okay, so I got a couple quick fill-in stories for you before we ask you about what is art. So one of the funny things, I mentioned my B-boy period. My tag at the time was Sphinx, right?
Sphinx.
Okay. Sphinx. And in my head, my 12-year-old white boy head, I was like, my moves are so mysterious that they're riddles, right?
Okay.
The riddles of the Sphinx. So there was a lot of mystery, a lot of riddles.
Yeah.
So that's what I did with it, right? So if the move was wrong, if I blew the move, it's a riddle. So
nice cover, man. Nice cover. I like it.
Nice. The other one has to do with drummers. Strangely enough, I was at a Weed Eater show. I'm a big sludge doom metal guy, and the Weed Eater drummer didn't make it to the show because he was in the hospital.
Oh shit!
Don't know why. He was still intact, but so they showed up to the show without a drummer, the three piece band, and I had never seen this before. They were the lead band. They pulled out the drummer from the first three opening bands to play three songs on each of their songs.
Wild, man.
So I saw them play with three drummers, none of which they expected to have.
How fun is that, though? You know, like just not knowing, like especially for the drummer too, like not really knowing the tunes. It's like, all right, here we go. Let's all gas, no brakes. Let's find out.
The drummers were universally excited.
Oh, hell yeah. And did it sound good? Did they do a good job?
It sounded good.
Awesome,
you know,
what a way to recover. Like, can you imagine showing up to a show and then like something so essential like drums is like not able to make it? Oh my god, what a nightmare.
And this
is making something out of nothing right there.
That's something out of nothing. And the funny thing is too, the final piece on Weed Eater, this is the third time I had seen them, and each time they've completely blown up equipment because of how loud it just completely blown it up. So each time I've seen them, they've dealt with personnel issues. They've dealt with equipment issues. It's
like
still
amps are like actually blowing up.
Yeah.
I've never seen or actually like heard a real life story about that. That's insane.
Well, next time Weed Eater runs through town, well, I'll see you there.
I might have to go just for that. For sure, I'm bringing earplugs, guaranteed. But I mean, this I might have to see.
All right, so we got Matt Funky Brewster, and this is the first big fastball at you. What is art, Matt?
Yo, that's kind of an easy one, I think. Any form of creative expression to me is art. And I think like people typically have they tend to view art as things like music, singing, film, painting, drawing, dancing, you know, things like that. But I think art really extends to other things and other aspects in life, like, I don't know, cooking, architecture, like interior design, like different forms of like massage, acupuncture, healing, even like being a mental therapist or, you know, can be a form of art, landscaping. Winemaking, brewing, distilling. I mean, even sports. Like, you ever watch Michael Jordan play basketball? That is
right.
Art, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I had a big Michael Jordan phase when I was younger, too. But video games, parenting even, I think can be a form of art. Man, that is an art. Like, hats off to all the parents out there. Props to you. y'all are doing it and we see it and we're all a better world for it. But yeah, I think that anything that takes creativity to me is art, because we get to do it our own way on our terms, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Now I have a question that's connected to it, and it's in general too. The question is, you know, what is the role of art? And I ask that in the sense of like two ways, like in general, you know, for human beings creating art, you know, what's the role, but also if you wish, you know, is it different now during tough times, during a pandemic? Has the role of art changed? So what is the role of art?
Wow. That is a deep question there. For whatever reason, I kind of want to start on how it's changed during the pandemic, because I think it certainly has, mostly because we're dealing with things and feelings and situations that, you know, our generation hasn't ever had to deal with before. And there's no right or wrong way to feel about it, I don't think. And any way that you can creatively express the way that you feel about it, I think is beautiful. And I think that a lot of people that are artists have taken to that and really, I mean, one of two things have happened. It's they've either let it stifle them, or it's completely made them bloom as artists and transform. as far as like what the role of art is, I believe that it exists to feed the soul. And, you know, if art is any form of creative expression, like I said earlier, I mean, what would we even be without that? It only not only like nurtures us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, but it also sets forth examples for future artists to draw and expand upon. Like, it's really exciting to think about the evolution of art as the years have passed. Like, since I'm a musician, I'll speak on that. Music likely probably began as, I don't factually know this, but probably likely began as like just singing or humming and like maybe beating on a drum or like a rock or something. You know, some form of rhythm,
yeah.
You know, lots of time has passed and instruments of all kinds have been created now. And we've obviously even transcended the realm of only using acoustic instruments. Like, we have electric instruments, and as an electric bass player, I'm really grateful to companies like Fender, for instance, who made massive innovations in the electric bass in 1951 with putting out the P bass. But yeah, now we have like synths of all kinds, like talk boxes and things that can make crazy noises. We have computers with DAWs, which are digital audio workstations, you know, like the programs that allow you to record music.
Yeah.
We have virtual instruments that can be controlled through MIDI, which MIDI is insane. Like, on like pretty much all the Hiroki tracks, like, and a lot of the Larissa tracks, we don't even have a real drummer. Like, we just program all the drums in through MIDI. And, you know, all the synths that we're using are all controlled through MIDI, just all on the same keyboard. I think that's incredible. And, like, instead of having to have an actual studio with, like, real hardware and consoles, you now can just use, like, an arsenal of plugins to, like, achieve an incredible quality of sound. And that goes for movies, too, not just for music. And, I mean, shoot, speaking of, we make alien music. You've heard dubstep, right?
Like, Yeah, right.
But all of this to say that it only serves to inspire, create, and further innovate this form of art, which is music. And I can't wait to see what happens in the future. But yeah, I think music just really exists as a whole to feed the soul. We need that. I mean, people love art galleries. People love film. People define who they are at an early age based on what kind of music they listen to.
Right.
You know, right. It's such a fundamental part of our society, and I think I'm just really grateful to be a part of it, man. I'm here for it.
That's
what art is to me, I suppose, if I'm summing it up.
Yeah, I appreciate that energy. I feel about it the same way as like the sense, and I've just had a bunch of recent conversations about, if you think about music too, as, you know, healing and medicine, right? Expelling emotion, or you know, the singer expresses your emotion and then you share it like in that way. It's so powerful.
And a lot of times too, with things like that, I don't even have to know what they're saying or like understand the lyrics necessarily, so much as like hear the way they're singing it and just be engrossed and encompassed by the melody. it's like Stevie Wonder said it, you know, music is a world within itself. It's a language we all understand, you know, and that's true. Like music is a language and everybody understands it. It's beautiful. It's the world language.
Yeah. Yeah. Stevie Wonder and Inner Visions and the funk of the city, you know,
yeah, man.
Definitely. Definitely. So, I wanted to ask like a little bit more of another origin, just going back a little bit, but the general big question has to do about influences upon you. And the question around that is what or who made you who you are, Matt?
Ooh, I can go like really deep with the origin story, or I can just like talk about influence. Where do you want to start?
The show is a collaboration, brother. Rock and roll.
Okay. I guess maybe we'll start just like with the origin story, I suppose. But everything made me who I am. So I was born in Seoul, Korea. I was adopted at a very, very early age, like before I had memories. And I came to California. I was raised in California. Like I said, I grew up in the church, which I think really honestly nurtured my musicianship. I wanted to become a musician, bass player specifically, because when I was in fifth grade, there was this girl named Samantha Betancourt, and she wanted to play the guitar. And the school band had just decided that it wasn't just going to do like the traditional band instruments. You know, they was going to start incorporating some jazz instruments too. So I was like, okay, you want to play guitar? I'll play bass, and we could play music together.
Yeah.
And sixth grade came around. You know, it was in the summer between fifth and sixth. Sixth grade came around and she did not join the band, but I did still. I was all in. But it was really cool for me because before that, the first instrument I think I tried to play was the trombone, and that was like back in fourth grade. And I sucked so bad at the trombone. Like they tried to teach me how to read music. I still can't read music to this day, by the way. But I had to learn the trombone because that's the only thing my parents would let me play, because I don't know if you knew this, but I'm disabled. I'm missing fingers and a leg. Mm-hmm. And so since I was missing fingers, they didn't think that I would be able to play like the clarinet, sax, or anything like that.
Right.
But the funny thing is I'm playing stringed instruments, missing these fingers now. And, you know, dad, eat your heart out. But it, you know, my parents are really cool. They gave me all the encouragement in the world. They just decided they didn't want me to try to, you know, maybe be embarrassed in the musical realm. But they told me that I could probably, you know, pretty much do anything that I wanted to do in almost every sense. And you know, I told you that I had like a huge Michael Jordan phase, right? I wanted to be a professional basketball player.
Yeah,
me, this one-legged, six-fingered, 5 foot nothing kid, you know, thinking that I was gonna maybe make it to the NBA one day.
I bet you there was something you could do that nobody else could do. I don't know what it is, but I bet.
Yeah, lose every single time. That's what it was. Basketball, man.
Not so much of an inspirational story, right?
No, yes. not there. In fact, you know, Larissa will still try to get me to go out and play basketball sometimes, and she just whooped the dog shit out of me. And
She looks like a hoopster.
She is a fierce competitor. She gets this like look in her eyes like Kobe Bryant used to get back when he was it's my time now. And I was, yeah, she'll take it to you, man. She'll put the shoulder down and come at you, you know.
Is she out in New York for the Brooklyn Nets, or is she playing music?
She's playing music, but okay. I would think that she's moonlighting with the Nets, you know. but yeah, so like even just being disabled had a huge impact on the way that I've grown up to play music, because I have influences for sure. Those influences, as far as like bass goes, I would say, you know, Victor Wooten was a huge catalyst. I mean, every bass player loves Victor Wooten. I mean, how could you not? He's one of the greatest to ever do it. James Jamerson played on all the Motown hits, like half of the Motown hits you've ever heard. Jamerson was on.
Yeah.
I played with the Funk Brothers. Those two are probably my two biggest influences. But I could never really emulate the way that they play through my own playing because of my hands. Right. So I've had to learn how to do it on my own terms. I used to play with a pick, actually, because that was the only way that I thought I can do it. And then I had a good friend that was like, come on, man, why are you putting limits on yourself like that? And he's like, I'm just thinking to myself, shit, all right, you know, pants me in the schoolyard, call me out. You got me. Like, let me try this thing. And
yeah,
put in the work, put in the hours and the time in the shed. And I haven't used a pick for so many years, and I'm slapping. I do slap bass a lot. That's one of my specialties. I do a lot of double thumb technique, do a lot of palm muting, but yeah, it's that's really been the disability thing has been a big factor on forming me into who I am, especially as a musician. I think I used to struggle a lot with substance abuse many years ago. I was like wildly addicted to drugs. And I think coming out of that, music had a big, big role in me stepping out of that, which is kind of ironic because I feel like a lot of people might get into drugs because of music and the whole game, you know, but yeah, it was actually the opposite for me. And, you know, I owe a lot to my friends and my family and my bandmates and, you know, just honestly the whole music community for keeping me on the straight and narrow, you know, since then. And quite honestly, you know what? The more I think about it, everyone that I meet in life in general, not just in the music community, I think changes me on some sort of level, you know, maybe not much, sometimes maybe a lot, but I think that everybody that I meet changes me in some sort of way. And I'm grateful for that. And it's helped form me into who I am.
Yeah, no. And thanks, Matt. And the thing around, you know, around with the art and what it does for you. I mean, I think it's so powerful, and I know you pointed, you know, towards it, but, you know, I'm talking artists, like there's a sensitivity to like, you know, the human condition, right. And like feeling things. And, you know, I think you pointed to it of like, sometimes the culture around art tends to be problematic or like escapism, or it can be tied up to other like drugs and you know, absolutely, things that could be problematic for the person. But it's a complicated dynamic, because within there is like the way that sensitive people or artists or people in general hold on to songs or hold on to that riff to kind of like, it's how does, you know, the question of like, how does music express what we can't express in other ways?
Not only that, but it can take you back to places too. You know, you hear a certain song and you can remember times in your life when, you know, you heard that song. And I don't know, that's just another way of speaking to how powerful I think music really is.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we've been warming up. We've been warming up a bit. There is the big question, you know, that your answer about, you know, is going to basically guide folks about why is there something rather than nothing? I don't know, but I'm going for the funk here. I'm going to the Funky okay. Brewster. I'm saying, like, what's going on? Why is there something rather than nothing?
Why is there something rather than nothing? Man, that is a broad question right there. You know, I would say because there's got to be something. Because if there's only nothing, what are we even doing it for? All right? Like, there's got to be something. In your life, in my life, in our lives, we have to have a purpose. And I think that's really going to be the only thing that's ever going to continually cause us to keep pushing, you know, and keep trying to take the next step to get to the next level, to get to the next day, hour, minute, whatever, you know? shoot, even just deep breathing sometimes is something rather than nothing, you know, if that's what you got to do to keep on pushing.
Yeah.
I think that on another manner of speaking of this topic, I think it's really exciting to go from an empty blank canvas of whatever sorts and create with it. You know, like just get to put your own mark on whatever form of art, you know, that you want. I don't know. You just got to make something out of nothing. That's just the way life is. You know, life puts us here. We didn't necessarily ask to be here, but here we are. Make something of it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, man. I wanted to ask one question related to, you know, you speaking about your disability. Sure. And, you making adaptations, trying to figure out like how is it that I learned this? How does that I do it? I mean, did you struggle at times being like, just fuck this shit? It wasn't created for me. You get to that point where you're like, you know, why am I trying
this? Yes, absolutely. That has been a thing. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and you bet your sweet ass that I have thought that on more than one occasion. But you know what? I don't think that just because I have disabilities that I'm the only one that ever thinks that. I think that pretty much every musician that I've ever met at one point has been like, what? Like, should I be doing this? Like, is this for me? Like, you know, so I don't think I'm alone. But as far as the disability goes, you know, I have wondered that specifically about the disability. That is true. But the thing is, it's the only thing that I've ever known that I've wanted to do since almost as far back as I can remember. And it's one of the few things that I've gotten really, really good at and that I've wanted to stick with. And it's one of the only things that when I'm not doing it, I miss it terribly. And I feel like part of me is missing, you know, that I'm not being myself. I'm not being true to myself. And when I think about not doing it and like maybe... like, I don't know, in times past when I thought about just getting a regular 9-to-5 and submitting to the man, you know, it's so, I mean, there's a certain sense of security that might come along with it financially, but it's just such a soul sucking thought that I mean, this is what I'm doing. You know, I've made the decision. This is it for me, you know, and even if later on down the road, music financially doesn't pan out somehow, I'm still going to be playing music. That's never going to stop. You know, I just have to. Yeah. It's just such a fundamental part of who I am at this point.
For you know, personal indulgence and for the listeners. Yeah. Keep playing it. Keep doing it.
I want to say, like, if you're thinking that you can't learn an instrument, because man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard motherfuckers come up to me and be like, oh yeah, I can't play the guitar. I can't play the bass because I have such, you know, fat fingers or whatever. It's like, motherfucker, you got all 10 of them. Don't even give me that. I want to hear it. But yeah, man, like if you want to do it, if you want it bad enough, if you want to do it, you will put in the work. You will put in the time. Yeah. You will deal with the frustrations. And guess what? You're going to probably end up pretty good if you stick with it.
Yeah. I hear you. No, thanks. Thanks for that. Listeners, we're talking with Matt Brewster, and before we let Matt go, I want to find out, Matt, can you let the listeners know? I know you mentioned the bands who played you know, Hiroki track there, and can you lead listeners to where to find your stuff, whether it's live in person like where to come in contact?
Absolutely.
With you.
As far as Hiroki goes, you can find us anywhere that you consume your music, be it, you know, Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, Amazon, SoundCloud, wherever, we're there. You can find it on our website, which is HirokiTheBand.com. We, you know, have links to all of our stuff on our Instagram, which is just at HirokiTheBand. Please follow us there. We'd love the support. It means more than you know. And yeah, I mean, as far as when we're playing out, we're going to be doing like our first official live show at the end of this month. It'll be October 29th in Portland at the Atlantis Lounge. And we'll be kind of doing double duty with Disco Montana, which is, Haley Lynn and James Villa's duo, but we're kind of going to be backing each other up, you know, in each other's projects. It's going to make for a good funky Halloween night, man. If y'all can make it out to that, you absolutely should. And you can find the ticket link if you go to our Hiroki Instagram page, click that link in our bio, you'll find the ticket link right there. And then as far as Larissa goes, she is, like I said, currently in New York. And I don't think we have, since she's going to be there till November, the early November or like end of October, we don't really have any shows lined up for the rest of the year. However, our next show that we do have on the books is at the Crystal Ballroom on January 15th. And looking forward to that one a lot. I mean, it's the Crystal Ballroom, you know?
Yeah, man, that's so great to hear, and thanks for sharing that, because as listeners, you heard Matt has a lot of different projects, and I've really enjoyed going deeper into them and following them.
Oh,
and,
I also got to say, because Larissa will murder me if I don't. I forgot to tell you where you can find that music too, which is also everywhere that you consume music, which is Spotify, you know, Apple Music, all that. And her website is LarissaBirdseye.com, and you can follow her at LarissaBirdseye on Instagram. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for that. We love Larissa. Had her recently on the show, and I won't put out a strong challenge now, but I'll put out a light challenge. I'll put out a light challenge to Larissa Birdseye for a one-on-one up to 11 points whenever we get the chance. My idea is this, if she can't beat the 49-year-old white guy who's been off the court for 20 years, Larissa, but
there's got to be some sort of stakes here. Like, we got to come up with, like, you know, some sort of prize. I'm like speaking for her here. Like, I'm setting the terms of this deal.
That's why the light challenge was there. I'm trying to establish whether there's any management, whether you're the promoter, whether you're the booker.
I have been a booker, and I've had like done some promoting and a little bit of managing for her in the past. She's kind of like, she's mainly spearheading all of that now these days. However, I think that maybe I can help orchestrate this basketball one-on-one challenge. I would love to see this go down. And, you know, Larissa, when you hear this, if you shy away from a basketball one-on-one challenge, I'm just never going to look at you the same. You will just be forever shamed on the court. Like, there it
all
is.
All this is now recorded. I will enter, final point, I will enter the court as the Sphinx.
Hell yeah, man. She's going to probably show up as Larry Bird, if I'm being honest. That's her b-ball name right there. The Sphinx versus Larry Bird. Let's go.
I will even let her borrow my Larry Bird jersey. 33. Ooh. White classic.
Wow, that's okay. Now she's got to do it. She doesn't have an option anymore.
All right. Thank you, Matt. I got to tell you, ever since coming in contact with you, it's really been a pleasure of mine to hear your music, to kind of connect with your spirit and what you have to say. And this is an opportunity for here.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out to me in the first place. It's an honor to be contacted and to get to know you and to be a part of your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a wonderful time. Matt Brewster, everybody check out his music. You need the funk. If you need the booty shaking, you need the, you know.
We also got the emotional tracks too, though. You know, the ones that put you in your feelings.
As well. There's a certain popularity. I got to lead with the booty shaking and then the funk.
That's how I always start, too. I don't blame you there. Thank you.
All right, Matt. Great chatting with you, and I'm sure I'll get to see you playing some music soon, and encourage everybody, listeners, to the best of your ability, check out Matt's music, Larissa Birdseye music, Hiroki, and thanks again, Matt.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Take care, brother.